Who's talking? Who's speaking here? Prahlad Maharaj. And who is he talking about? Lord Brahma, yes. Tat sambhava kavir. Tat sambhava, who was generated from the lotus flower. Kavi, who can understand the subtle cause of the creation. Lord Brahma. But there's a process. Lord Brahma is described here as Kavi. Kavi usually means somebody who's learned or who's a poet. And here, another explanation. He who can understand the subtle cause of creation. But in one sense, Lord Brahma's applying a material process rather than a spiritual process to understanding his purpose and his cause, where he's come from. And so initially, the kavi or the learned, that learned personality, Lord Brahma, explored the external feature of the cosmic manifestation that he was experiencing, and it's described here, what was it, for 100 years, right? He attempted to find the source of the lotus for 100 years, and then there's a footnote. In the online Veda base, you see an asterisk, but you don't see the footnote. So I was wondering what that was. So Prabhupada explains here, one day for the demigods equals 6 of our months. Right? And he did so for 100 years. That's a long time. Right? So, by his endeavor, exploring the waters within which the stem of the lotus was sprouted, Lord Brahma was trying to understand his source. He was trying to understand his cause, and of course also understand thereby his purpose. What am I supposed to do? But of course he wasn't able to. By exploring the material creation, he wasn't able to understand its source. And Prabhupada explains here why that happens, or how that happens. And he gives two examples. The first example is of what? What's the first example in the purport? Yeah, but that's not there's two examples that Prabhupada gives why you can't understand the source by exploring the external features. What's the first example? Cotton. Yes, cotton. What does cotton look like when you pick it? What does it look like? Anybody seen a ball of cotton before it was turned into cotton? the flower of cotton. It's just a fluffy bud, right? A fluffy bud. So Prabhupada gives the example, when it's spun into thread, right, what happens to the bud of cotton? It's not a bud of cotton anymore. No, it's transformed, right, into a thread. So if you were to explore the qualities of a cotton thread, how would you come to the conclusion that it came from a bud of cotton? Well, if you knew the process, but yes, you wouldn't. By analysing the thread, you may never come to the conclusion that it came from a bud of cotton. And then further to that, Prabhupada expands on that notion or that idea. When the thread is woven into cloth, right, then the thread disappears. Right? If you look at your dhoti, well, you haven't got a dhoti on. Look at your pants, right? It's made up of, you know, one thread, or maybe a few threads running, you know, cross purposes to each other. But when you look at your the cloth, the thread disappears. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Although it's if you were to unravel your dhoti, if I was to unravel my dhoti, then it would all just become into one big long thread. Huh? So it's a very good example of how if we are to observe the external manifestation of something, we may not understand its internal characteristics or its internal nature. Right? Look at your cloth, and then what do we see? We don't even think about the cotton bud. We don't even think about it. The cotton bud, which is the source of our dhoti, is completely disappeared. What to speak of the threads that have been made, or the thread that's been made from the cotton bud, when it's made into a dhoti, you can't even see that. Or it's not immediately perceivable. Unless, you know, we're told, or unless you've seen it happen, right? You've seen the bud of cotton spun into a thread, and then you've seen the thread woven into a dhoti, right? In Bengal, around Mayapur, if you go on the Gauramandala or the Navadvip Prakrama, right? All around that area, you'll see weavers. Right? Have you seen the weavers? And it's quite a big machine, you know, and they clink, 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 and it moves the shuttle across, and then it pushes the cloth up. Oh, it's not the it pushes the thread up into the loom. So you have to observe. You have to have been able to observe the the spinning of the bud into thread, and then the weaving of the thread to make the cloth. You would have to observe that in order to understand the process. But Lord Brahma wasn't present when all of that took place. Right? He appears on the lotus stem, and then is initially inspired to explore the creation in order to, by swimming in the climbing down the lotus stem. And it says here, he dove into the water. Right? That would have been, I would have been happy just diving into the water. forget about finding out the source of things. I remember when I was a kid, we used to go down to the jetty and just dive off endlessly, hours. Climb up, dive in, climb up, dive in. It was a lot of fun. Not particularly concerned about the source of the creation at that stage of my career. But Lord Brahma, he's described here as Kavi, which is interesting. He wasn't interested in enjoying. He wanted to find out what the cause was. Where have I come from? What am I supposed to do? So, obviously not an ordinary, an exceptional, the Adi Kavaye is described in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. And of course, Lord Brahma being such an elevated personality and being the first created being is special here. And because he's such an elevated person, his purpose is to seek out the cause and understand his mission, I guess you could say. What is the purpose of my life? So initially, more or less an exploration of the external, but unsuccessful, and as is described here by Prabhupada, unsuccessful. And then, so what's the second example that Prabhupada's given, gives in the purport? What's the second example? Subhya? No? Huh? Seed. Yes, the seed. And this is a very interesting, this is another interesting example. Well, the example of the cloth coming from the cotton bud is it explains the transformation of the material energy. Right? So the next example that Prabhupada gives is the example of a seed. Right? I remember when I was a Boy Scout once in my younger career, and we had to do an experiment, which I thought was terribly boring. It was boring, actually. We had to, again, get a cotton bud and put a bean on the cotton bud and then water it every day and then watch it grow. Right? It was, and you know, I would have been, what, 8 or 9. And I thought this was the stupidest thing, you know, because, you know, nothing happened. I went, come on, get going, right? And it takes days to sprout. In fact, I gave up. I didn't pass that test. I found it so boring. I just thought, I'm not going to water this thing anymore. What a waste of time. Other kids did it, but I didn't. I'm not very impressed. I think I gave up on Boy Scouts after that. But the interesting thing is, when you sprout a seed, then, and this is an important example, when you sprout a seed, as the seed germinates, or here Prabhupada says fructifies, right, then its form changes, right? The form completely changes. And so when you look at a fully manifest tree, say for example, where's the original seed of the tree? Where's the original seed? You won't find it anywhere because it's been completely transformed from, you know, even a bean, right? You could say a bean. In the initial stages of the germination, you can see the form of the seed. Somewhat, right? But as it grows and grows and grows, then the original seed is transformed into the full manifestation of the plant. And so effectively what's happened, the seed's disappeared because it's changed into now, just like those Moreton Bay figs that you'll see in St. Vincent's gardens, right? Especially on the RSL side, on the other side of the light rail, there's some big, and if you see when they flower and fruit, there's those kind of round fruits, right? But then when they open up, there's hundreds of seeds inside those fruits, right? And each one of those seeds is potentially the tree, right? That's amazing. You got this huge big tree out of this little seed, right? So when that tree is fully grown, how are you going to see the source, which is just that little seed? You can't, because it's been completely transformed into the tree, right? So exploring the tree, climbing all over the tree, won't give you any indication of what the source was. This is the example that Prabhupada's given. Two examples. The example of the cotton bud and the example of the seed that creates the tree. So, if you're just looking at the external manifestation of the material creation and you're trying to work out where it came from, what does Prabhupada say? Forget about it. What do the Vedas say? Forget about it. It's just like, you know, there's been a big celebration last week because this spacecraft came back from some asteroid and it's brought back a whole bunch of metal from that asteroid, right? And they're saying, oh, this is going to give us the key to the source of the creation. All it does is give us, all they get back is a bunch of dirt, right? Oh, it's a bit of dirt. Oh, it looks like the dirt that we've got here on Earth. Well, surprise, surprise. And does it get us any closer to understanding how the, well, as Prabhupada says here, the chunk exploded, right? The exploding chunk. Yeah. The remnants of an explosion generally don't give you any indication as to what what exploded it in the first place. Because it's exploded. Huh? So, and then this last week, actually, it's very interesting, actually, the commentary that we're seeing in the in the media these days, it's not if there's extraterrestrial inhabitants, right? It's when, right? They're not talking about if anymore. They're saying it's only a matter of time before we'll discover life other than on Earth. Because right? All they need to do is read the... If they read the Srimad Bhagavatam, then they'd understand, it would all be described and explained for them. So, Prabhupada makes the point that, you know, similarly, you know, we can't understand the source of the creation by examining the creation itself, because the original junk has already been exploded, right? Not possible. Waste of time. And of course, that's the realization of Brahma and why he's called Kavi, and most learned, because after exploring the source, trying to find the source of the lotus for 100 years, right? And this is 100 years of the demigods. So each day is 6 months. It's a long time. He was exploring for a long time, but still couldn't find out what the source was. So basically the advice is, you know, just by, it is not possible to understand the material creation by exploring the creation itself. This is the basic lesson here. Lord Brahma arrived at that realization. One of the reasons why he's called Kavi, learned, because he came to the realization, I can't understand what's going on here by my by the use of my mind and of the senses, basically. So empirical analysis of the material creation is not going to give us an understanding of the source, because the source is it's completely changed. It's completely transformed. Like a seed is completely transformed when it is manifest as a plant or a tree. The source disappears, or the external source disappears. So Brahma came to that realization, and then what did he do? He was inspired to perform austerities, to meditate effectively. Right? And so his attention was turned within rather than without. And as a result of that inspiration received from, you know, he was hearing the sound of the water of the Karana Jal, right? Slapping up against the side of the lotus, making a sound. Tappa, tappa, tappa. And then from hearing that, because, you know, after 100 years of swimming around, he obviously got bored. So he's sitting down thinking, what am I supposed to be doing? Right? And then he heard that sound, tappa, tappa, tappa. And so he came to the realization that he should meditate. And, of course, then as a result of that meditation, then Lord Brahma had everything revealed to him. The Lord appeared within his heart and instructed him as his spiritual master. And of course, that's the example that we can learn from Brahma, and why he's, you know, the head of our sampradaya, the adi kavaye, who had everything revealed to him by the Lord as a result of the inspiration that he received from Krishna. And so Krishna acted as his spiritual guide, if you like. Yep. And so everything was revealed to Brahma. What his source was, what his cause was, and what his purpose is or was. And so we can learn from Brahma also. Exploring the external creation is a waste of... Well, you'll get to know the material creation, but you may not... Very likely, as was experienced by Brahma, by exploring the material creation, we won't understand its source. As Prabhupada points out, that source, that chunk, if you like, the original material energy, has been transformed by the glance of Lord Vishnu and been agitated. The pradhana, the original manifest energy of the Lord, the material energy, is agitated by the glance of Lord Vishnu, and agitated by the, as Prabhupada points out here, by the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. But in the agitation of that energy, it's changed. This is the basic point. So Brahma came to that realization. The exploration of material energy doesn't give a proper understanding of its source because it's changed. And one has to, if one wants to understand one's cause and one's purpose, then one has to approach a guru effectively. That's what Lord Brahma did. Because we're not as elevated as Lord Brahma, where we'll be, you know, Krishna will personally reveal himself to us. But we have to follow the principle of approaching a spiritual teacher or a spiritual guide, as is exemplified by Lord Brahma. And so we do that by approaching a bona fide spiritual master who can teach us that process of internal, of introspection, of internalization, and of purification. You know, this tapa, the performance of austerities. And that performance of austerities is done under the auspices of the spiritual master. And for us, under the auspices of Rupa Goswami, right, we're all Rupa Nugas, and he's Krishna's representative, Krishna in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's presenting the process of introspection, of internal, of self-realization effectively. That's exemplified by Brahma's meditation. We're followers of Rupa Goswami, and why we read the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or the Nectar of Devotion, because there Rupa Goswami says, here's how you execute, or here's how you prosecute this process of internal, of introspection, if you like, of internal development. Exploration of the external world will not lead you to the cause. It'll lead you to frustration, right? And you'll get some understanding of the material world, but you won't understand its cause or its purpose by exploring the external energy, as is mentioned here. So Prabhupada kind of confirms, yes, there was a chunk, right? in this purple. There's a chunk. That's the material energy. Right? But the cause of the, what is it? What does Prabhupada say? The bursting of the chunk. The bursting of the chunk. You know, it's just like if there's going to be an explosion, right? There's got to be somebody to press the button, right? Explosions don't happen by themselves. In fact, there's a hell of a lot of work goes into making an explosion. It doesn't just... And of course, this is just common sense. Right? This is just common sense. And so Prabhupada says, yes, there's a bursting of the chunk, but who burst the chunk? The bursting of the chunk was caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a bit that's missing. And you know, of course, there are many scientists who accept that the creation is initiated by a person that we call God, right? And of course, there are many who just deny any cause in the form of a personality, in the form of God, and deny the relationship between us and a personal source. Like in the beginning of Prahlad Maharaj's teachings, he says there are two types of persons within the creation. Right? Two types of persons. There's the asuras and the suras. And the asuras always want to deny the identity or the personality behind everything. Just in denial. Whereas the suras, they're always, their tendency, and we see that with Brahma, you know, his tendency is to surrender to the person. Identify the person, surrender to the person. That's my purpose. And of course, that's the person, that's the process of our Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, etc., which is, you know, one of the essential teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. We have nine processes of bhakti, and when executed, one, two, or any combination, or all of them, right, executed together, bring us to the point of understanding the cause. The cause of ourselves, the cause of creation, our relationship. What is it? Nityara Krishna Das. This is a realization that we'll come to. And to act in that and then be satisfied, fully satisfied, because that's our superior identity. And so the asuras will deny personality. Deny themselves of their personality. But here, Brahma gives us the example. And of course, Prabhupada is saying here, forget about understanding the chunk. The chunk got blown up, ultimately, by the Supreme Person. And by observing, you know, there are hints in the creation of the personality of Godhead. But generally speaking, by materialistic endeavours, very difficult to realise the Supreme Person. One has to follow the process of self-realisation or the process of bhakti. as is demonstrated by Lord Brahma, as is demonstrated here by Prahlad, and as is demonstrated here by the example of Brahma. And we see, you know, when Brahma attains his understanding, you know, when everything is revealed to him, and he hears the sound of Krishna's flute, right? Then everything is revealed to him, and we hear that from his prayer, from the Brahma Samhita. We hear Brahma's realization of the cause of everything, right? And so what's his conclusion? Govindam Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Ishvaraha Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, you are the cause of everything. You are the beginning, but you yourself have no beginning. And you're a person, and you play a flute. The original person plays a flute. The original person's actually not that too much concerned about the creation of the material universe, right? That's God in the office, right? He's got to keep an eye on everybody and make sure they're getting their just deserts and getting their punishments if they're misbehaving, right? But he doesn't like that. He would much prefer to be in Vrindavan playing with his friends. You know, there's the example of Benjamin Disraeli. Benjamin Disraeli was a English prime minister. Prabhupada tells this story. And one of his secretaries, one of the ministers came to see Benjamin Disraeli, Mr. Disraeli. But his secretary said, the Prime Minister's busy. He can't see you right now. You have to wait for a little while. Anyway, the minister got a bit toey after a while because he was kept waiting for so long. So he thought he'd just have a look in to see what was the Prime Minister up to that was so important. And he looked through the door and he saw the Prime Minister was on his hands and knees with his grandchildren riding on his back. So he's just playing horsey with his grandchildren. So that was more important than attending to, you know, the mundane affairs of the government. So, you know, if we're to observe what's going on in the material world, very difficult to understand, you know, that Krishna playing in Vrindavan is the ultimate source of everything. The relationship is many times removed. And so therefore, you know, this analysis of the material creation to understand its source and its cause is by these two examples that Prabhupada gives. The first one of the cotton bud, and then the second one of the seed, which is a really nice example, explains how practically impossible to understand the origin of everything by looking at the manifest creation. Impossible to work out what its source is by looking at the results, because the source has been modified, changed so much. Okay. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Any realizations?
You were mentioning about the seed in the tree.
The seed and the tree.
The seed and the tree. So,
yeah, the tree, the seed becoming the tree.
Yeah, when you see the original cord of the seed, if you haven't read the Bhagavatam, time, you can't really understand it. But there's one tree that it grows, and then when it germinates or it sheds, it has these little tiny, like, they look like worlds, they look like universes. And I was just thinking that from the Bhagavatam, from like Krishna Bijamam Savabhutanam. Mm. So that he's the original seed, but you can see the material worlds hanging off the leaves. You could use that as a.
That's because you're a transcendentalist, Pete.
But that's just all I saw. That you can see the original cause from Krishna.
When you understand Krishna as the cause and the seed, then you can see Krishna within everything. But if you don't understand that, it's very difficult to see Krishna within everything. But you've got the eyes of a devotee. Shastra Chakshush, so you can see Krishna and everything.
I never thought that, when I came to Krishna consciousness, I never thought that I'd ever see anything like that. But that's what Prabhupada says, that when you read the Bhagavatam, you should come up with
one, right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So that's the thing in the scientists.
They should read the Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's why Prabhupada put so much effort into the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam is a very systematic analysis of the whole creation, how it is manifest, where it comes from, how it's divided up and structured, and ultimately what its purpose is. And that's exemplified by devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, especially Prahlad Maharaj, at the seventh canto, we start to see, because we've seen many devotees, but in Prahlad Maharaj we start to see an interesting example of a devotee who's very, very advanced and is equipoised, is tolerant, is has many saintly qualities, but the additional quality that he has is compassion for others. He's deeply concerned about the welfare of others. Any other comments, questions? Sibia.
Hey Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the wonderful class. Prabhu, you mentioned in how you see Brahma, he attained Lord Krishna as his guide by doing austerities and penance.
He what?
He attained Lord Krishna as his spiritual guide by doing austerities and penance. Mm. But at the same time, we hear in lectures that just by austerities and penance, we cannot attain Lord Krishna.
I can't hang on, speak a bit slower and clearly for me.
At the same time, we see in the lectures that only by austerities and penances we cannot attain Lord Krishna. We need to do devotional service.
Can somebody else tell me what she's saying? What did she say?
She is saying that Brahma is doing austerity.
Yep.
And Krishna guided.
Yes. Ah, good, yes. Your words all merge together when I hear you. So, I find it difficult to understand. And my hearing's not so good. Good question. Lord Brahma's austerity was his devotional service. And that's how it was revealed to him, right? And that austerity was meditation. Ultimately, by the purification of the austerities he performed, he was able to hear the instructions of the Lord, or see the vision that was revealed to him. So the principle here is there's some austerity that needs to be performed, right? The austerities that we perform in order to come to that level of self-realization that was available to Lord Brahma, and strictly speaking or theoretically available to us too if we follow his example, right? And so that's why we have Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya revealing what our austerities should be in order to gain the same realization as Brahma, right? So what are the austerities that we perform? What's the first austerity that we perform as devotees?
Getting up early.
Yeah, that's an austerity, isn't it? I woke up at 2:30 this morning. And have a guess what I decided. What do you think I decided? I haven't had enough sleep. I'm going back to sleep. I know what happens when I get up early. I just end up with a big headache if I haven't had enough sleep. But what else? Why do we get up early in the morning? Yeah, that's true. But practically, what do we do? What do we rise early for? Yeah. After Mangalarti, what do? Chant. Yeah, chant Hare Krishna. We're the Hare Krishnas. We chant Hare Krishna. That's what we do. Right? That's why we get up early in the morning, so we can chant Hare Krishna properly. Right? Chant Hare Krishna with attention and focus on the sound of the mantra. And when we focus on the sound of the mantra, what happens? When we focus on chanting Hare Krishna, what happens? Yeah, we become purified, we become inspired, we become enthused, we start to see things with clarity, with you know, if you look at the material world, how do you feel usually? This place is a dump. Birth, death, old age, and disease. What's the point of this, right? Very depressing. Right? But then when you chant Hare Krishna, all of a sudden everything looks like the spiritual world. We realize, I'm not in the material world anymore. Yeah. So our main process, the austerities that we perform in, and of course it's not only chanting, because we have many 9 processes of devotional service. Savai mana krishna padara vindayo vachamsi vaikunta gunano vanane karo harer mandira majanadishu. As Prabhupada says, if you haven't got anything to do, go to the temple and clean it. Karo harer mandira majanadishu. Shrutim acharya, what is it? Shrutim. Hearing about the pastimes of Krishna, talking about the pastimes, Vajamsi, Vaikuntha, Gunana, the qualities of Vaikuntha. So there's so many activities that we can perform as exemplified by Ambarish Maharaj. So they're going to the temple and cleaning the temple. That's an austerity. Well, and hearing and chanting, they're our austerities. They're the things that we add. just the performance of, say, just fasting, right? Or sitting, some yogis perform, they'll sit in the sunshine and then light fires around them. Right? This is austerity. Or in the wintertime, sit on ice or sit in the Ganga, in the cold water. So those kind of austerities, no point. right? You know, sometimes, you know, devotees get this idea, I'll perform austerities. So, you know, they get a little bowl. This is what used to happen in the brahmacharya. They get a little bowl just so they eat less, right? But then what they do is they pile the bowl up, you know, right, like I said. It's piled up really high. And then usually what happens is, after performing the austerity of not eating too much, the allure of the 9 o'clock Mahaprasadam overwhelms them. And so then they just go and eat lots of, well, my vision of the 9 o'clock is paneer with tomato sauce and puris and cauliflower with sour cream. Do you remember that Vishnu prayer? Yeah. Irresistible. You know, you can perform austerities as much as you like, try not eating, but if you can withstand the attractiveness of the 9 o'clock Mahaprasadam, good luck. You can't. Right? The only way you can really control the mind and the senses by higher taste, that's chanting Hare Krishna. Nice. You know, there's the austerity. So, your light's on your phone there, Prabhuji. Your phone, it's got the light on. Yeah, I'm not sure that's necessary. Might make it easier to see Krishna. This is called enlightenment. Hey, Google, turn on the torch. Oh, hang on. Here, look at that. Okay, turn off. Yeah, so austerities. And you know, our real austerity, one of the toughest austerities for us, and what's recommended for us, is book distribution and Harinam, really. You know, that's our austerity. Not this, you know, contort yourself into a pretzel shape, or, you know, avoid eating or avoid sleeping. That's just material activity, really. But what's recommended is devotional service, which requires effort, which requires sense control, which will put us into challenging situations, but which will enhance our Krishna consciousness, will help us make advancement, right? So that's the austerity that we perform, following in the footsteps of Brahma. That was his devotional service. We need to embrace our devotional service as is recommended by our spiritual master or spiritual masters, by Srila Prabhupada, ultimately by Rupa Goswami and Lord Chaitanya. That's our system of following in the footsteps of Lord Brahma. Does that make sense?
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Yeah. Thank you. Nice question. Where do you get these questions from, Sibya? There's my question. Where do you get the questions from?
They just come.
Huh?
They just come.
They just come. Okay. Very good. All right. Now the next austerity on the agenda. Right? It's Mahaprasadam. Huh? Oh, the austerities. You know, when you think about it, just dry austerity, not very appealing. But preaching Krishna consciousness, expanding our community of devotees, it's challenging, but it's exciting. And but it's exciting, right? You get self-realization and have lots of fun in the meantime doing it. So in one sense, our austerities are enjoyable because from that comes a lot of positive. Okay, all right. Kantuat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Lord Brahma ki jai, Hiranyakashipu, boo. It's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I prefer to be going on Sankirtan.
Guru Sri Krita Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishna Raghunathantam Vam Sadivam Shaktaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanitanishta Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaurabhakta Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Vrinda. Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Yeah. Gopijana Vallabha Giri Maradha.